I had asked Jerry if I could use some of the thought he had this morning, but since Randy's already used it, well, I'll go ahead. I was going to use the word presumption. We had that lesson this morning, and I appreciated it. I do have a disclaimer for the opening thoughts that I have this evening that this is a presumption that God would allow us to continue without tragedy, without. This is just kind of a if that happened, these things would be so to be. I'm going to preface in kind of an odd way the beginning of my lesson, and work up to it. I think you'll see the correlation as we get further along into it. But it's interesting how we look forward to things that will happen. We may have special events. Maybe you're going to become a teenager, and you can hardly wait to become a teenager. Or you may be looking forward to driving, and I can't wait until I can drive and get behind the wheel and have that freedom and experience that. It may be your 21st birthday. It may be graduating. All of these things are events that we have looked forward to. Many of us have experienced, and they've happened. They're behind us. Karen and I looked forward to marrying 41 years ago. We had great hopes and expectations. That event's happened, and we've spent the last 41 years together. We raised our family. That happened. It just took place. And now at 61 years old, I have time to pause and think about those things that have happened. It's already taken place in the history of my life. One of the things that kind of really hit me, and John spoke about this several weeks ago, or spoke about the concept of it, of life and death, and he spoke of the thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that die every hour. And it gave me some pause to that, to realize, you know, you think about the number of people who are here and they live and they die and they pass on. You may have known them, you may not have, you may reflect on their lives. But to think that as I speak, there are thousands of people who are leaving this earth. Their time is up. And before I finish, many thousands more will die, as well as many thousands will be conceived, many thousands will be born, and life continues as we know it today, as we know it. But the interesting part of this was that at 60 years old, and we think about that mankind has been on the earth for about 6,000 years, I'm 1% of that. Well, that kind of put it into a different perspective to me, that I could actually say that I have been here part of that time and put a number to it. 1% of my life, and there are a number in here who share that same, at least maybe close to it or a part of it. And I thought about my parents, and my parents have lived, my dad lived to be 92 years old, mom lived to be 88 years old. Dad's mom lived to be 89 years old. There was a lot of life as we define it. They were old and lived full lives. But there was a time when they began, when they were born to their parents, and they lived their lives. They had children's experiences. They had at marriage, they had families. There were things that began at a moment in time. But it's over. It's done. And they became one of those statistics of thousands who died in that moment. So you want to be careful how you want things to happen. You want to choose the things you want to do. And I kind of speak this to some youth. I don't know whether this will work or not. And in the small crowd we got, how many are less than 21 years old in the audience? The interesting part of that is that when we started this congregation, when it began in October of 1988, you weren't here. You weren't here. But we had a beginning, and now, 21 years later, we're continuing on, and you were part of that. A point in time, beginning, and there will be an end. So what does it have to do with the idea that I'm going to present tonight about, and it's kind of a Labor Day theme, if you will. We're going to talk about professionalism, profession, your profession, and the work that you do. You have, everyone in this room has an effect on someone else's life. It may be a minor contribution. It may be a major contribution. So you will have effects on some of those points in time. This is a poor example, but it brings home the point. If you get up and you're in a bad mood in the morning, and you get in your car and you drive down the road and you cause someone else, you cut them off and you get them angry, and now they're mad, and they go to work, And they harbor that anger, and they use it throughout the day, and something happens, and the boss calls them in at the end of the day and says, you're fired. And it's because you had a bad day. And you and another person maybe have been the cause of that. So there's a cause and effect of that. So we want to be sure that we in this room, and we'll get a better understanding of it as I go through this lesson this evening, to see how this relates to what we claim we do. Your profession. We have a variety of professions exemplified in this room. We have engineers, we have barbers, we have post office people, we have technology people, there's a variety of skills that have taken place in this room. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you have an appendicitis, how many of you are going to call Jerry and say, because you got the day off, can you come over and take care of my appendicitis? Me either. Because Jerry's not a professional to be able to handle that. We're going to look for someone who has that skill to do that particular job. And it could be any number of things we could exemplify in that line. So we want to be very careful. We have, you know, when you think about the teachers that have an effect on children, it just has all sorts of things that we could attribute to that. That some people may have been inspired by something someone said to them, because of their profession, because they provided that information to you. We're here tonight because we serve a God, and Randy has prayed about that, has implied that's an important part of our lives through his words. And it is. But what effect does our professionalism have? Let's look at an example of what the professionalism of the children of Israel. Now, if we consider what they were to God, they were professional children of God. Well, I'm stretching there, but it'll have a place there. Hosea wrote in the 8th chapter when the prophet said, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. And he's God speaking. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, have cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not of God, but the calf of Samaria will be broken into pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers will swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up now that they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. God put them in their place. He cut them off. And they were his professionals. And we can see from this scripture how that happened. Paul had quite a bit to say about our profession, if you will. In Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, in the 6th chapter, 12th verse, he said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul refers to what we do as a profession. Now, I think the implication here is, as we use the example of Jerry being a physician or not, that we are a profession. That our profession is following the Word of God, being a part of that. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, there's several verses here. I'm going to read through Hebrews quickly here. In the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." In the 4th chapter, the 14th verse, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," referring back to Jesus again, "that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." And in the 10th chapter, in the 23rd verse, he said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. If we take this seriously, as you take your profession, how often do you get up in the morning and say, "I'm not going to work. I don't care. I'm just not going to go today. I won't bother to tell anybody." Or we go to work, and I probably am guilty of this at times. I get up and I really don't want to go to work, but I do, and that reflects in my work ethic at work. Am I a true professional in that? I thought about that for a while, and I wondered. You know, I've been in the workforce for over 40 years. The first 11 years, I worked for 3 different companies. They're not in business anymore. Okay, so the next 30 years, I've worked for 3 different hospitals, and now work for a hospital group. 2 of those hospitals, they've been dissolved and moved on to other ways or combined with someone else. I've closed 3 other hospitals in the Kansas City area. and business isn't been the best I'd like for it to be in the business I'm in now. This is a rough business to be in. So, how do I relate that to success as a professional in what I do? I'm not sure it's going to make it. It may not be my fault. It may be the economy and the way that it is. I don't see it as a potential failure. I work for a multi-billion-dollar corporation. It's not likely that it's going to go under, but I saw the stock price of it fall 80%, 90%. It still makes you pause to wonder. And in our world and in the profession that we're in and whatever it is that you may do, how you approach that. So we want to see how we should approach our profession that Paul describes as living for Christ Jesus. And so that's kind of leads into the second part of what I want to talk about, and that's the perfection of what we have in our profession. We want to attain perfection in what we do. We've worked very hard at achieving some level of productivity because of what we can do. We give what we give, and it's good for us. How do we apply that to our true profession? What is our first love in this process? Paul wrote several thoughts concerning this, and one of them was in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I just said a lot right there, folks. There is an element of achievement that we need to work for, whatever our process is in the church, by giving that part of it unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Where is Christ? Where do you place him in your life? And if it's an important stature that Paul implies, then we should be working very hard to perfect that element of it. He wrote to the Corinthians in the first letter, second chapter, he said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us." Do you realize what I just said in the previous thought here? None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Son of God. We know. It has been revealed to us. The devils believe and tremble. They didn't understand the plan of salvation. They thought they won. Christ rose from the dead. Whoops. That wasn't in my plan. How did that happen? I don't know, Satan thought. Didn't even realize the power of Christ, power of God, and raising him from the dead and providing to us this path of salvation. We need to perfect. In the second letter, in the seventh chapter, he said, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There's a theme here, folks. Perfection is an important part of our life. Now, I haven't alluded to that. You know, we may look at perfection as being without flaw. But of course, what the writers are talking about is the completeness that we need to be. We need to be perfect or complete in Christ. Philippians, the third chapter, the 12th verse. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press for what? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. Is that instruction? Is that some good advice that Paul is giving to the Philippians? Is that reaching 2,000 years down to now and applicable to us? Absolutely. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, we who have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Perfection or completeness is your role as a Christian. You are a professional. It is the work that you do. It is your high calling. It is what is necessary for your salvation. That means the life that I live, that those who are around me understand my affection for Christ. My understanding of Christ, my example of Christ to them in all that we do, it's important in that aspect. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Peter wrote in the fifth chapter. In 1 John, it's written, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, is complete in us. What a beautiful aspect of that, in understanding the need for our perfection in our profession. My conclusion here is in Luke, the sixth chapter. Christ has been given some incredible advice. And this is what gives us pause. I'm going to begin in the 40th verse. The disciple is not above his teacher, but every one that is perfect shall be as his teacher. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull the mote out of that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For from thorns men do not gather figs, nor from a bramble bush gather they grapes. Do you see your profession in this? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What fills your heart? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built an house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that, without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Where is your foundation? What level of perfection have you attained in your profession?